Our scripture passage this morning comes from Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4, and I'm going to read from the Common English Bible. Be careful that you don't practice your religion in front of people to draw their attention. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Whenever you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may get praise from people. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may give to the poor in secret, and your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we are in a season of giving right now, and you have already given so much. Think about it. You've probably given up your social life, the time that you spend with family and friends, and just the good times that you have being together. We've stepped back from that for the good of everyone. You've probably given up so many things that you love. One of the things that I love doing is going to a local coffee shop and enjoying a good cup of coffee, and I'll do that a couple of times a week, and that's gone now. I mean, I still enjoy coffee, but I do that at home. But I miss the people that I know at the coffee shop. I miss the experience. I miss being there, and that's gone now. I've had to give that up. They're closed now, and you're probably thinking, well, you got no need to complain. What about the people who work there? And you're right. The people who work there and at so many other places that they've had to give up a paycheck. And the owners of businesses have given up financial stability. And people are dealing with this all around us and making these choices all the time. My cousin owns a restaurant, and she had to send her workers home. And she said that many of these people are the type of people who don't have savings or live paycheck to paycheck. And she just had to tell them, we can't employ you right now. My dad is in the bus business. They're making hard choices about what they're going to need to do over the next few months because of so many cancellations. And these things are happening all around us. And people are making these choices all the time. And these things are happening all around us. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I wasn't thinking about any of this. I mean, the coronavirus was in the news, but it was, I didn't think we would be here. I didn't think this would happen so quickly. At the end of January, I was in Arizona and I needed to get a haircut, and I found a local barber shop in Tucson and got a good haircut. And you guys know this, barbershops, guys kind of joke around there. And the barber next to mine, he's cutting this guy's hair, and he said, well, did you hear that they came up with a cure for the coronavirus? And my ears kind of perked up. I thought, well, that sounds like good news. And he said, yeah, Corona Light and Lime. And we all laughed the way that guys do in barbershops. And then it was just kind of something to joke around about. It was just, that time seems so quaint now to me. I never would have guessed that we'd be here right now. Then it was a far away thing. It was a problem for a different place. Then it was, in China, but then I thought, well, you know, we won't have problems. But then you heard about it was in a few other places, and you heard about Italy and the problems they had in Italy. And then you heard about cases here in the United States. And now as I'm sharing this with you, I've heard about two cases here in Delaware County. And, I never would have guessed 2 weeks ago, this is where we'd be. But here we are. And like I said, you've already given. We've already given. And we've already given so much. And I can be cynical about human beings. I mean, you catch me on the wrong day, and I can be down about the human race, and I can tell you that everyone is awful, and the human race is doomed, and we're just, everything is terrible. And all of us, I think, on a wrong day can begin to think that way. I admit I'm that way on certain days, but I look around and I see we're all pitching in. I mean, I look at thing after thing was canceled, and there's sadness there. I think about people who wanted to go on trips and conferences and school trips and sporting events, and these were things that people looked forward to and saved for and were important. You know, they were hoping for these things, and as I saw thing after thing was canceled, March Madness, the college basketball tournament was canceled. I mean, there's all kinds of money generated there, but they said, no, we need to step back from that. We're not going to do this. Broadway shows, they're all dark now. Concerts canceled, parties and gatherings. And so I saw thing after thing after thing, it was canceled. And we need to grieve those things. We do. There's a sadness there. We've had to let those things go. But I looked at all of that and I said, wow, I said, we're really jumping into all of this. And we all say, we need to do this. We've all kind of jumped in and said, okay, we need to do this, not just for ourselves. I mean, that's part of it. We want to keep ourselves healthy. We're thinking of ourselves, certainly. But we do this. We've stepped back from so many things. We do this for the most vulnerable. Because we tell ourselves, and probably that's true for a lot of us, we say, well, if I get sick, I'll maybe be okay. In my own life, I've been lucky to have good health. But we do this. We've canceled so many things and given up so many things and stepped back from so many things. We do this for the most vulnerable in our community. Because if we carry on, it's business like usual. If we say, well, what's the big deal? If we act like there's no problem, if we say, well, it's just the flu, we'll all get over it. And there are people who talk that way. But if we do that, then the virus pours in like Niagara Falls. And then we're all getting it. And then the most vulnerable, our older folks, people with pre-existing conditions, they're all crowding in the hospital when they get sick, and the hospital will end up with people camped out in hallways and a tent set up in the parking lot to treat people, and they're having to make choices about who gets a ventilator and who doesn't. And if that happens, then we're left with over a million Americans dying in those circumstances. And we say to ourselves, we say, we can't allow that to happen. And so we're doing all the things that we do, not only for ourselves, but for the good of our whole community and the people who need it the most. And I'm amazed at how we're all giving. We're all saying, this is what we need to do. We're all taking precautions. We're all sacrificing. And like I said, I can get discouraged about the human race. I can decide everything is terrible. But I look around and I say, wow, we're all doing it. And that makes me feel really good. You've already given. So it seems strange to me now to be preaching a sermon on giving. I'd planned this series through the season of Lent, and I'd planned this a couple of months ago. And in this series, we're talking about things that we do, practices of our faith that we learn from. And we talked in that first Sunday in Lent, we talked about prayer and worship. We talked about study and studying the Bible. We talked about serving. And this week, the plan was to talk about giving. And like I said, you've already answered the call here. This is one benefit I don't have on Sunday mornings, is I can't necessarily keep some water close, but wet my dry throat here. You've already answered the call. You've already given. And so maybe it seems to me a little too much to ask you today to give, but that's what I want to ask of you. Jesus says in Matthew 6, he says, whenever you give to the poor. Jesus doesn't say, if you give to the poor. He says, when you give. He's just assuming that that's something that, as his people, that we do. We give to those in need. He says, whenever you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet in the synagogue in the street. Don't sound the trumpet saying, you know, doo, 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 look at me, I'm giving. And we've all experienced someone like that, haven't we? You know, the person who maybe does something good, something charitable, does the right thing, but that person then needs to tell everyone about it. I mean, we've met that person, haven't we? The person who can't stop talking about what they did for another and putting it all over social media and everywhere, letting everyone know what he or she did. Jesus says, if that's why you're doing it, if you're doing it just to get recognition, he says that's all the reward you're going to get. That's not why we give, Jesus says, to be noticed by others. He says, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Let it be a quiet thing, a thing that's not even noticed by others. We need to give, Jesus is reminding us. Not for the awards, not for people to recognize us, not for people to tell us how nice we are for whatever we've done, but we need to give. And there are ways you're already doing that. Like I said, we've already given. I'm preaching to the converted here today. You're already giving. And I know that some of you are wondering, maybe you're going without a paycheck and you're wondering, how am I going to get by? And it might not be money that you need to give in this time. You certainly need to take care of your bills, but you can give your time. You can give your attention. Call someone who might be alone. Write a note, a letter, an email, a text, just checking in with people. You can give your time and your attention. If you're able to give money, there are needs in our community, and there are many ways that you can do that. If you're curious about that, get in touch with me. I can hook you up with that. And even just supporting local businesses, and that's a giving thing that you can do right now because they're struggling. And the big retailers will be okay, and we're thankful for them and you know, that they're able to provide for us in times like this. We're lucky to have those resources, but local businesses, they're suffering right now. And it's a giving thing if you can support them. And I know it seems selfish. Like I said, you've already given, but the church too. We're still here. We're still going to be here. We're going to get through this. And there are ways that you can give, even though we're not passing the plate here on a Sunday morning. And so if you're able, like I said, some of you are wondering how you're even going to pay the rent. And I'm not talking to you now, but if you're able, share what you can. If you do online banking, set up the church as a recipient, and you can give that way. We've set up an account, and I'm going to start advertising this week through something called Givelify, where you can give just directly on your phone. You can make a donation to the church. If those things don't work for you, if you'd just rather write a check, the good old United States Postal Service, they're still up and running. You can write a check and mail it in. If you can give, and I'm only speaking to the people who can. It'll help us as a church continue to be a community of faith here. But you've already given. But Jesus tells us that's an important thing to do when there is need to give. My mom used to give me a quarter before Sunday school when I was a child. Our Sunday school, we would take up an offering that was separate from the offering in the church, and it was for, I believe it was for missionaries the church supported. And she'd give me a quarter every week, and I was supposed to put it in the Sunday school offering. This was before I had an allowance or anything like that. And one week, I had this idea that I was going to pocket the quarter. And I guess I thought I could put it in a gumball machine or something like that, and so I kept the quarter, and later in the day, I wasn't very smart about it. I was playing with the quarter and had it in my hand. And my mom says, where did you get that? And I'm guessing I probably came up with a lie or something, but eventually it was established that I had kept the Sunday school offering. So my mom confiscated that quarter, and the next week, I had to give two quarters. My mom was teaching me something that I needed to give. She was teaching me that when I give, I'm drawn out of my own world. I see the needs of another. I realize that there's something God is doing that I need to give myself to. And I needed to learn that. And I'm so thankful for that lesson. You're already doing that. You've already given. Let's keep doing that. Let's keep giving. And we'll help each other through this time. Amen.